Welcome to the Romans study, and we're on part 52 tonight. I want to agree with the previous lesson there. At the end, he was saying two ways to become, for Gentiles back then, to become a Jew, or to come to God, it would be by becoming a Jew, circumcision, and that it's called proselyting. They would be considered a Jew. And the other is Genesis 12:3, which I'll read here. And I will bless them that bless thee. And that's the part that's important there for this. And curse him that curseth thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. So, I will bless, God gave his word that if somebody blesses Israel, his firstborn son, he calls Israel. If someone will bless Israel, God will bless that person, that Gentile that blesses Israel. Gentile salvation was interrupted by the fall of Israel. So, in other words, when Israel isn't in good favor with God, it doesn't help you to bless Israel, and you don't gain anything by it. But that's the way that the Gentiles would have come to God throughout all the Old Testament until we come to Romans 11, verse 11. I say then, have they stumbled? So Paul is asking a question. Have they stumbled? He's asking, why did they stumble? Excuse me just a minute. Asking, why did they stumble? Have they stumbled that they should fall? And he's talking about Israel, and he's explaining what happened to Israel. And he says, in effect, what's the reason that they stumbled? What was that? What was the cause or the purpose of them stumbling? Did God want them to fall? Is that the reason why they stumbled? But when you go on in the verse, the rest of it, I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid. In other words, that's not the reason why they fell, but rather, going on in the verse, but rather, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles. So all those years before Israel fell, Gentiles could come to God through the rise of Israel. God said to Israel in Isaiah, through the prophet Isaiah, Isaiah chapter 60, verses 1 through 3, arise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. Verse 2, Isaiah 60, verse 2, for behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people, but the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. Verse 3, and the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and kings to the brightness of thy rising. So that was the way Gentiles, for the Gentiles to come to God, until Israel fell. And when Israel fell, that all changed. That was no longer a way to God anymore. God introduced a new pattern of salvation that was not only for Israel and those coming to God through Israel, but for all men, all people, starting with Israel's fall at that time. That was revealed through our apostle. Christ's only apostle of the Gentiles, he's given the office of the apostle of the Gentiles. Paul, that would be Paul, to head off any presumptions, we don't worship Paul, we don't worship Moses. Israel didn't worship Moses. Moses was the mouthpiece of God to Israel. Paul is the mouthpiece of God for this new salvation he's offering to all people, not just to Israel. So Paul went on to preach the gospel of Christ, calling out the remnant according to the election of grace. and calling them out to be saved by the gospel of Christ. Christ meaning Messiah, it was the gospel of their Messiah. Coming, he came back to the Damascus Road with changes that he had made in the program. The gospel of Messiah, saving them into the body of Christ, this remnant according to the election of grace. Israel's casting away at the end of Acts deactivated their gospel of the kingdom that John the Baptist started preaching. You read about it at the beginning of Matthew and beginning of Mark, and other places. But it was deactivated when Israel was cast away in the last chapter of Acts. The name of Christ's new gospel was assuring the Jews and the Greeks that it was good news from their same Messiah, the Christ, that went, as the wording is, among the apostles, went in and out among us apostles, until the same day that he was taken up from us. In Acts chapter 9, verse 27, but Barnabas took him and brought him to the apostles and declared unto them how he had seen the Lord in the way and that he had spoken to him and how he had preached boldly at Damascus in the name of Jesus, the name, the identity of Jesus. In other words, telling who he was. And you can read in verse 20, that would be Acts 9, verse 20 and verse 22, what he did, what he said when he preached in the name of Jesus. He said that Jesus, well, let me get it. I don't have it listed here. Let me just pull that up and we'll get it exactly. I don't want to mess up, say the Bible says something when it doesn't, so. And straightway, as soon as he was saved, in other words, he preached Christ in the synagogues, that he is the Son of God. Well, he's talking about Jesus, through the context there, that Jesus is Christ. Well, that wasn't popular among the apostate Jews. In fact, they had ruled that anybody that says that is going to be kicked out of the synagogue. But Saul increased the more in strength, and confounded the Jews which dwelt at Damascus, proving that this is very Christ. He was the Messiah. So, the name of Jesus is important in Scripture because it identifies who Jesus really is, and his connection with prophecy, and his characteristics, I hate to use the word nature because he doesn't have a nativity. I mean, other than when the Word became flesh, but he was eternally existent before that. And so his characteristics, the identity of Jesus is defined in what God calls the gospel of God in the Bible. And it's in Romans 1, the first four verses. Romans 1, 1 through 4. The gospel of God is defined as being that Jesus is the Son of God, the prophesied Christ or Messiah, and that he was resurrected from the dead. And that's it. There's nothing in there about salvation, about being saved, about the blood of Christ. It's the identity of Jesus, who Jesus is, and who Israel should have received, but refused to believe that he was the Son of God, the Christ, risen from the dead. The gospel of God is not to be confused with the gospel of Christ that Paul preached for salvation after he knew that the people he's preaching to believed the gospel of God about who Jesus is. There's no salvation in the gospel of God alone. The gospel of God is merely the identity of Jesus or the name of Jesus. It's all wrapped up in his name. That's why the name of Christ, the name of Jesus, is written about. It's important in the Scriptures because you either accept who he is or you don't. But You know, he's not talked about as a baseball player or as an accountant or whatever. He's talked about as the Son of God. Do you believe it? As the Christ, the Messiah. Do you believe that? That he was risen from the dead. Do you believe that? You believe the name of Jesus. Jesus Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ. Belief in the gospel of God prepares the believer to hear and receive the gospel of Christ that saves the believer. It's important there. It's like a foundation. Again, the name of Christ's new gospel of Christ assured the Jews and Greeks that heard it, that got to hear it, that it was good news from their same Messiah, Christ, that went in and out among the apostles until the day that he was taken up from them. The name of Christ's new gospel of Christ assured the Jews and Greeks that Christ had initiated a change in the salvation instructions. By preaching the name of Jesus in the gospel of God, Paul identified Jesus as the prophesied Messiah from the Old Testament that they knew, you know, they had read about, they had been looking for, and now he's risen from the dead. Look at the difference. The two ways to be justified here in this verse. One that was the way, which was not totally sufficient, and one that is now the way, which is sufficient. Look at Acts 13:39. And by him, talking about Jesus, having been crucified, buried, and resurrected, by him all that believe are justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. So this is verse 39 in Acts 13. In Acts 13, 28, 29, and 30, it talks about him being crucified, laid in the sepulcher, and risen again, that he rose again, that he was resurrected. By preaching the new salvation pattern in the gospel of Christ, the gospel of their Messiah, Paul declared to the Jews and Greeks the difference between trying to be justified by the law of Moses before Israel's fall and being justified from all things by the gospel of Christ after Israel's fall. Which is now too, this is after Israel's fall. Israel has not seen Christ coming in the air. Zechariah 12:10, they need to see him, and the Lord will pour out on them a spirit of grace and supplication, and they'll receive their Messiah, and things will change. We'll be gone by then. We'll be caught up to be with the Lord in the heavens. But their 70th week will begin, and then their kingdom on earth. And we'll be in the kingdom in heaven. So at the same time as when Paul dispensed the gospel of Christ in a dispensation of the gospel of Christ, Israel was going through the diminishing of them. Those two things coincided, but they were independent of each other. They were it wasn't the body of Christ that was diminishing, and it wasn't Israel that was dispensing the gospel of Christ. But they went along at the same time. And also at that time, there was what the Lord, through the prophet Habakkuk, said would be the work that he would do that they would not receive. It was a rough time back then in the book of Acts. So at that time, the preaching of Paul had a lot of prophetic meaning to those people, to those Jews and Greeks, because those particular Jews and Greeks of that period are described, but not named, in a couple places in prophecy. And don't make the mistake of presuming that the mystery of Christ was in the Old Testament scriptures. The mystery of Christ was not told about back then. Let's read Deuteronomy 32. 32, verse 21. And then we'll look at Habakkuk 1:5. But Deuteronomy 32:21, they have moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. They have provoked me to anger with their vanities, and I will move them to jealousy with those which are not a people. I will provoke them to anger with a foolish nation. Well, who are those which are not a people that the Lord is going to use to anger those apostate Jews in the synagogue? I know of only one group of people in the Bible that fit that description, the Greeks. They're called the Greeks. It's not all Gentiles, it's just the Greeks. And the Greeks are not a people. They're not a nationality, according to Mark 7:26, lists the Syrophoenician woman as being of the nation of Syrophoenicia. She is a Syrophoenician by nationality, but she's called a Greek. The Greeks were Gentile seekers of the wisdom and knowledge of God. And you can read about that in 1 Corinthians 1:22 to 24, but we're going to go on. The Greeks were not from a city in Greece or from any city. Trophimus, they called him a Greek, but he was from the city of Ephesus. And that's in Acts. I think I can get the verse later. I don't have the verse reference right now. And well, what about the other part of that prophecy? Who was that foolish nation by which God would provoke apostate Israel to anger and learn? Well, we find out later it would save some, this foolish nation. In Luke 12:32, Christ gave the kingdom to the believing little flock that he called a nation. And he called them that when he took that kingdom from apostate Israel in Matthew 21:43. He calls them a nation. Give it to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And in 1 Corinthians 1:27, God confounded the wise with what the world considered foolish, so that foolish nation was the believing little flock of Luke 12:32. Paul referred to the same foolish nation in Romans 10, verse 19. And 9 verses later in the context in Romans 11, verse 7, he identified that nation as the election, that little flock remnant of Jews electing to believe the gospel of the kingdom. They were the prophetic remnant called the little flock. The other place in the Old Testament where the people of the diminishing are described, but not named, is Habakkuk 1:5. Behold you among the heathen, and regard and wonder marvelously, for I, this is God talking through Habakkuk, prophet Habakkuk, I will work a work in your days which you will not believe, though it be told you. Well, when did that happen? And I failed to put that in my notes. Let me just post it. That's Acts 13, going down to, I think it's 41. Let's take a look. Behold you, so Paul, after giving his speech, his preaching at Antioch of Pisidia in Acts 13, and the Jews reject him and the Gentiles want to hear more, he says, behold you despisers and wonder and perish, for I work a work in your days, a work which you shall in no wise believe, though a man declare it unto you. So Paul connects that prophecy and says who it applies to. It applies to disbelieving Israel in the synagogues. So, apart from prophecy, Paul first ministered Christ's new salvation pattern to those Jews and Greeks until we got to the place where there was the beginning of the gospel, it's called in Scripture. In those words, in fact, beginning of the gospel that Paul mentions in Philippians 4:15. That occurred in Acts 20, verse 6, the beginning of the gospel, about the time when Paul wrote to all that be in Rome, the Roman epistle. At that due time, it's called, Paul was testifying, he was sent to testify this gospel being sent to all men at that point. And we're told that the transaction was done at the cross, whereby all men could be saved if they believed the gospel. But it wasn't testified until due time. It was only preached in due time. And we're told that in a couple places at least. Let's look in 1 Timothy 2:6. Who gave himself a ransom for all to be testified in due time. When the time was right. In other words, not right away. Not at the cross. It wasn't told about. Titus 1:3. But hath in due times manifested his word through preaching, which is committed unto me, Paul said, according to the commandment of God our Savior. And we're told that we can't call upon who we don't believe, and we can't believe until we hear the preaching of that gospel. Well, that's in Romans 10, verses 13 to 15. This is critical to understanding the timing that God had. Romans 10:13 and 14. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. It's talking about during the tribulation that it was that was in the context. That's in Joel 2:32, I believe. Going on, Romans 10:14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? So they can't call on him whom they don't believe. If they don't believe in God, they're not going to call on him. That's what it's saying. And how are they going to believe in him in whom they've not heard? So he goes on to say, how shall they hear without a preacher? Romans 10:15. And how shall they preach except they be sent? So you can talk about commissions all you want. The Lord sent Paul, and his sendings are what matter, because that's what the Acts epistles, the epistles written during the Acts period, have to be taken differently. As Richard Jordan just said in the previous lesson, the question about where is Israel today? He was saying that all those statements, are you can't just take them to be to you. They were to the people of that day. And those people were Jews and Greeks. I don't know if he used that term, but they were Jews back then, and converted Jews, some of them. In Acts 22, verses 17 to 21, we hear that Paul had received another sending, a second sending. That later sending is in the Bible. It was to the far off. It was to all men, the far off Gentiles, not the same ones that he'd been going to. The Gentiles that he was going to, that are referred to in the last half of Romans 11:11, and it's toward the middle of Acts 26, verses 17 and 16 and 17. Actually, in 17, those Gentiles were the Greeks. They were Gentiles. It doesn't say all the Gentiles. until you get after Acts 20. He wasn't sent to all the Gentiles yet. He had been sent to the Jew first and also to the Greek. The Greeks are the God-fearing Gentiles that blessed Israel. They also sought the wisdom and knowledge of God. And there were other Greeks that sought the wisdom and knowledge of the day and didn't care about God. There's one reference to them. I think that's 1 Corinthians 1, 24 or 23. 23, I think. They're not the Greeks that were coming to God, though. They did seek wisdom and knowledge, but the ones that were trying to come to God God's way through the covenants at that time, covenants aren't working today. Well, I shouldn't say that. They're waiting for Israel to respond to God. But where was I? Paul did go to the far-off Gentiles from that point. He was compelled to, partly by being under arrest and having Romans around him all the time. Those were the Gentiles that he went to, and those Greeks, I should say, were the Gentiles he went to when he was first called on the road to Damascus, and that was what God wanted. That was the work, according to Acts 13:41 that we looked up and read. The work that God would work among the people during their diminishing that they would not receive. Paul knew it. It comes through when you trace who Paul went to. Paul could go to who he wanted to. He wasn't restricted by his sendings. His sendings were a positive go here and go there. Teach these people. But it doesn't say he couldn't teach his cousin or teach an alien Gentile that wasn't trying to be coming to God at all. He could preach to them. So when you trace who Paul did go to and preach to, and then you read Acts 26 verse 19, Paul went to whom he was sent. He didn't fail to go to the ones that he was sent to the Jew first and to also to the Greek, those Gentiles that were in a position to provoke Israel to jealousy. Romans 11:11. But in Acts 26:19 that I had mentioned, Paul said, I was not disobedient under the heavenly vision. So the ones that Christ sent Paul to, Paul did go to. And I believe the Bible. And before his later sending, the Bible only tells of Paul being sent with the gospel of God and then the gospel of salvation to Jews and Greeks. He was only sent to them. I didn't say he only went to them, but that's what he was sent to, and that governs how his epistles are written. How we understand when he says, you do this or that. He's not talking to us in some of those instances. There's a lot of information in those books that is to the body of Christ. The one body of Christ. The only body of Christ. Even though that's before Israel was cast away in Acts 28. So, those Jews and Greeks, again, blessed Israel under the scriptures of Genesis 12, 1 through 3. We mentioned that Paul was calling out a remnant according to the election or choice of grace to believe the gospel of Christ. And so they were baptized by one spirit into the one body of Christ. Not baptized into water. Baptized into the body of Christ by the Holy Spirit. Paul tells us in Romans 11, verse 5, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant. Now again, this is Paul talking, so at this present time isn't Thursday night here in I'm in the USA, I don't know where y'all are, but He's not saying that. He's not making a universal thing. That what he's saying is, at the time he wrote this, even so then, at this present time also, there is a remnant. It's not the prophetic remnant either, the little flock. He's talking about a remnant according to the election of grace. And he also mentioned it without the use of the word remnant in 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20. And we'll look at verses 19, 20, and 21 in 1 Corinthians. 1 Corinthians 9, 19. For though I be free from all men, yet I have made myself servant unto all, that I might gain the more. Well, that's what we're talking about earlier in the lesson, wasn't it? That we are free, and we can do what we want, but we make ourselves servant to all, that by that we might gain more. In other words, win more to Christ. In Paul's case, while Israel was still intact and not cast away yet, not totally cast away, he writes in 1 Corinthians 9:20, unto the Jews I became as a Jew, that I might gain the Jews. That was his preaching to the Jews and Greeks in the synagogues. So that's about calling out the Jewish remnant, out from apostate Israel into believing Israel, or the ones that were called into the body of Christ would be called to believe the gospel of Christ into the body of Christ. There were two kinds of people there, people that were being called into the little flock and people that were being called into the body of Christ. God was still calling them, and you can read that in 1 Corinthians 7, verses 17 to 20. So, to them that are under the law, he says, I became as understood there in this series of statements, he says, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. That would be those that were Gentiles, but they rested in the law, as it says in Romans 2:17. They took up God on his promise, on his statement there, that I will bless those that bless Israel, that bless you. So they rested in that law. They were Gentiles, but he says, to them that are under the law, as under the law, that I might gain them that are under the law. Many of those that he was writing to were in that category. He was writing to all that be in Rome, according to Romans 1:7, chapter 1, verse 7. But he defined which ones he was writing to in the different sections as he goes through Romans, people groups that he's writing to as he goes along. Here we see the Jews, and then those that come to God through Israel, the Jew blessers, or Greeks, as they were often called in the King James Bible, those Gentiles that fear God and bless Israel. Those are the ones he's trying to reach. Those are the ones from which he was drawing out a remnant according to the election of grace. And that would, that they would choose or elect the grace gospel that Paul was preaching after he preached the gospel of God. This new gospel was called, at the time during that dispensing of it, it was called the gospel of Christ. And later on, when it was sent to all men, it was called the gospel of the grace of God, which we have today. It's 1 Corinthians 15, 1-4. And he also says about another group, neither Jew nor Greek, he says in 1 Corinthians 9:21, to them that are without law, as without law. Being not without law to God, but under the law to Christ, that I might gain them that are without law. (Clears throat) going on, let's look for a while at. Well, I want to eventually at least compare between the first and second sendings of Paul, so we can see differences and we can see that they were not the same sending. There were two sendings. Here in Acts 20, when his epistle to the Romans was written, the closest we can tell is it was written in the third verse of Acts 20. And Paul was waiting at that time for his later sending to all people, which Christ in a temple vision back in Acts 18 had told him he would receive that sending to all people, to preach the gospel to all men. Two or three verses later, in Acts 20, verse 6, Paul received that later sending and refers back to it in Philippians 4:15 as the beginning of the gospel of the grace of God that he was to preach to all men. Let's look at the next verse in Romans as we're going through Romans 15 here. Paul gives a challenge to believe what he has exhorted them to do, bearing the infirmities of others, and we'll look at more of this. This is what Thursday tomorrow. That's the plan, at least. Okay, but Romans 15:13. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Ghost. Amen. And that's his challenge as to what he's been telling them and what we can gain from it, because, you know, it was Paul writing an epistle that was, a lot of it was about and for the body of Christ, even though there is some in there that you have to determine who is the recipient, who is it addressed to, that section, that part. He was talking to some Jews. He was talking to some that need to be saved, and he was talking to some that were saved, people that were saved. So you have to rightly divide between what's being said to you, what's being said to them, and what's being said to Israel. I'm done for tonight. Hopefully, we'll get to the next part tomorrow.